welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the Mac show from the Bagel Tech Network. On a Friday at lunchtime, having fun, drinking beer, if you will, green, and the rest of us are all sober. Welcome, and joining me, we've got a very full panel this week, overflowing panel, nay. Top left, Mr. Dom McAllister from Screencast Online. Hello, mate.
Hello, Ewan. How are you doing this week?
I've done all right, actually. I haven't done much work, unfortunately, which is a bad thing, but...
That's okay.
But it's
excuse
nice.
Now and again.
Exactly, no. I can manage another week or so, but then someone's got to book me.
Well, good to be here again.
How's the week been for you?
The week for me has been very busy. I'm trying to get ahead of myself because I've got a couple of trips coming up. I've got a conference next week, and then in 2 or 3 weeks there's WWDC. So I'm frantically trying to put some shows together in advance so that I don't have to worry too much while I'm away and just publish them.
Are you excited about WWDC? Are you excited about WWDC?
Oh, yes, yes. Expecting lots of nice new goodies and announcements over there. So, that, yeah, it should be good.
Good. Next to him, joining us on his monthly soiree into our British world, Mr. Andy Anatko.
Hello.
How's things in Boston?
Rainy, dreary. The Red Sox just lost 3 games, but yeah. Somehow we struggle on. We are a plucky lot, our Puritan fishing colony, and we're used to adversity.
Our sys admin Sarah Jane has been out doing the tour of the state. She's done Frisco and she's done Los Angeles, and she was in Boston for the Red Sox game. But it got rained off one of them, so. and I've just finished watching the Kennedys. Yeah, but that's the only link I've got to Boston, sorry.
That's quite all right. I apologize for the rain out. We're one of the few cities who doesn't have a domed stadium. We have a 1911 baseball park that is now it's finally old enough that it can be referred to as the National Cathedral of Baseball, as opposed to that place with not enough seats and not enough bathrooms and no dome and really no.
We had a place called
Wall instead of.
We used to have a rugby stadium called Lansdowne Road. Which was in Ireland, in Dublin, and when people used to clap, you could feel the stands moving from the body motion of everyone in unison. it was rickety's the word. Below him, we've got Dr. Happy Mac, Andrew Stevenson. We're going to try and find some new pseudonyms for you this week, mate. Dr. Crabby Mac's taken, unfortunately. Dr. Happy Porn is purchased and waiting for you to use. Any more? Are you even there, Andrew? Have you switched that fix everything button? It's switched everything off. Oh, dear Lord.
You see, it's like wishing on a monkey's paw. I said, please fix all my problems. I said, okay, I'll disconnect you from the internet. That's the source. No more porn, no more ordering things late at night, no more talking to people while drunk.
I thought he'd just take an umbrage of the fact that you keep insulting him and he wasn't going to speak, but never mind.
Right, we'll talk to Andrew later. Keep going, mate. When we hear some bumping, we know you're back. And on video, a round of applause for Mr. Will Green.
Hey!
How's it going, mate? You've got the Macs, you've got the video, you've got the setup, you've got the microphone back.
I've got everything. It's all here. It's all here and rocking and rolling.
And Johnny Walker as well last week.
Yeah, we had a fine time. He came over on Saturday, and it was great. We did an interview together, went out for a few beers, went for lunch, then went into Ironbridge later, did a few more beers, had a curry. It was ace.
Did some red wine. You forgot the red wine.
Yeah.
$14.99 a case.
It was great. No, it was. What a nice guy. Really nice chap.
I just need you to clarify, was it the Tesco or was it the Co-op wine?
Co-op, actually.
Yeah, you said Tesco. You gave him a bit of free advertising there, mate.
Did I?
Yeah, you got to be careful, dude.
Oh, no, it was a bit of the Co-op Beaujolais, it was.
If you're hoping to embrace Co-op as your new sponsor, especially their wine and vintner department, then you got to make sure you get the right sponsor in, mate.
Yeah, well, never mind. I don't mind.
Good Tesco, interview, though. Good interview. In between the drinking.
Did you like it? I really enjoyed doing it. It was a fun,
it was
fun thing.
Definite loving. Is that a horrific noise, Andrew? No, it's not right. And on line five, we've got Kyle Swagger. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Oh, aye. Bit of feedback coming from someone. So you've just joined us from the photo show, and you're back in on line five because we don't need to see your face. We just need to hear you. And you've got the weakest connection, but other people are vying for that prize, it would seem, today.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
The week in Mac News. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Can you hear me now, Mother?
Yes, I've got you, mate. Thank you very much. Glad to have you in, finally.
Whose ears are bleeding?
No smoothness on these shows whatsoever. Who cares?
You were after a new pseudonym for me.
Yeah. What can you think of this week? Doctor?
I'm going with Captain Bastard.
No. More editing. Jeez. Oh, man. Any got any idea with that? How long were we in there? 8 minutes. Right, that'll do. The week in Mac. It's been a rumour-filled week. There's not been an awful lot taking place that's much fun. Ubuntu has come out with its new version, and one of our correspondents, Alex G. Fox, has footed it on his Mac on Parallels and says it looks slick as snot. Kyle, you shoved it on your machines, and apparently it's a bit close to OS, you reckon, to OS 10.
Yeah, I'm using it actually right as we speak, so not very Mac-ish today, but yeah, it's you can even install a little dock on here. It feels very Mac-ish. I'm not really happy with the launcher edition, though. I feel it's still a little buggy. You can't use dual monitors with it. But if you go to the classic look, it's working like slick.
Okay, apart from the audio quality.
But is it really that bad?
Yeah, a bit clippy, but it's not too bad. It's all right. And
you told me to turn it up.
Apple crossed 10 years of retail sales last year, yesterday rather, and there's nothing forthcoming at the moment, but everyone's holding fire for the weekend potentially. And Yahoo Messenger is letting you do video calls to PCs off your iPad, which I'm sure Apple will find a way of putting a stop to that soon enough.
Yahoo?
Yahoo, exactly.
Yahoo.
Who? WHO. Yeah. No question.
Oh, the other people.
First things first, then. Anyone played with Ubuntu? I know it's a Mac show.
Yeah, I have.
No one else?
I've tried it over the years a few times. Yeah. There's a kiddie version as well called... what's that called? I put it on a laptop, spare laptop for my little lad, but it was not very good.
No. Andy, have you played with Ubuntu in the new version? Have you done your evaluation yet?
Not the latest version. I do keep a machine for just Ubuntu because it's nice. It's still, I think it's still in the phase where the last big leap it made is that it made a leap from it's great if you have access to a system administrator to it's great if you have a friend in the family who knows Linux that you can lean on for the occasional piece of like low level real work. It's nice. I've seen the videos. I've seen reviews of the new one. Still a nice jump forward. I'm still not sure it's quite in the realm of like a consumer operating system. But I think Linux is Ubuntu has really jumped into the role of the alternative. If you have like 12 machines, you need to support them all, and you can't spend $50 per seat on them. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice, very very credible operating system. It's just not a consumer operating system yet.
The reason I was talking about it is that one of the things that Alex has found out is that if you run it in a Parallels kind of setup or in boot camp, it comes with all the Mac drivers already built into it. So it runs seamlessly on a Mac.
Yeah.
Which is pretty special.
Yeah, and so many things work really, really well, too. Like, if you plug in an iPod or an iPhone, it syncs almost better than an Android phone would if you plugged it into a Mac. Because with an Android phone, if you plug it into a Mac, you really do need to buy a third-party utility to get syncing going very, very well. But if you have Ubuntu and you plug it into Ubuntu, it knows how to deal with an iPod. It knows how to slurp things into the library. You can copy files directly off of the iPod into your hard drive without any extra utilities. It's really quite slick.
Yeah. Has anyone thought about doing it as a separate setup? Or is it, in boot camp or Parallels?
If you already have a Mac, why?
Why?
That's just my...
All right, that's the end of that one.
Security issues now, since Mac is starting to get a bit sick this week.
Well, the other big story, of course, is the Mac Defender malware. Are we all quaking in our boots?
Why do you think I don't have video?
If only. No, apparently as well, there's some suggestion that Apple has told its AppleCare people, if they get a request over this, they're not to try and uninstall it when people are ringing up with issues. And there's a thing from ZDNet where they're saying that they've had quite a few contacts with Apple representatives who said they've had a lot of phone calls over this issue. Have a lot of people got this? It seems that they have.
I think it's an odd one, isn't it? Because so much of where Apple are now is built on the no viruses, no malware platform, and that it, straight away this has come, major media exposure to this Mac Defender issue. And whether or not it's serious or not, I think what is more serious for Apple is how they react publicly to it with their customers, who are expecting to have none of these problems, and suddenly all they're seeing on the news outlets is Mac Defender, your Mac is at risk, suddenly OS 10 is not secure. And of course, all these people have bought this computer on the specific promise that whether it's a real promise or not, whether there aren't any viruses for Mac OS 10, and suddenly, so who do they call? They call Apple and they say, look, this thing doesn't have viruses, now there's this thing. I don't know. I mean, I can see that it's not really Apple's problem. It's a, it's a software issue that somebody's installed on their own computer, but I think it could turn into a bit of a PR or media thing for them if they don't handle the response to it properly.
I mean,
but Apple hasn't really made that a top tier advantage of the Mac for a couple of years now. Oh, yeah. I think the last time they used it in advertising was a couple of years ago. I think Apple doesn't. Initially is having problems trying to figure out, do we treat this as a third-party issue where unless our geniuses are specifically trained on how to deal with this, they could do more damage to the customer's computer than they could if they simply left it alone? Or are they simply trying to say, let's just establish a policy that if a computer is infected with malware, it is not our responsibility to put it right again? Or are they still just trying to look at the issue and trying to figure out the best way to respond to it? So I don't think that right now we don't know whether it's a cover-up or whether it's just new territory for them in customer service.
Well, I don't think it's a cover-up at all. I think it's something that they're probably going to be struggling to transit from the no malware to the malware universe. But all I know is that people are coming and looking at the Macs on my sort of international market store, they look at it and they go, oh, that they look fantastic. And then there's a break of 10 seconds and they look at me and go, they don't get viruses, do they?
And what do you answer? Come on, Pinocchio.
The answer is, to an extent, they don't. However, that doesn't mean you can't be irresponsible, and it can't mean you can't get into trouble. And then we have a discussion about it.
I think it's kind of like saying we don't get any crime in our neighborhood, which is not to say that it has never happened. It's just that there are places where there are places where you live where you allow the FedEx guy to, yes, please, just by all means, just leave it by the door. And then there are the ones where, yeah, actually, I'd like to drive 50 miles to the depot. And also, could you accompany me back to my house and make sure I get through the door safely? And right now, Windows is the place where you will get murdered on the way back to your house. And Mac is the place where, oh, yeah, wasn't there a break-in at some house about three streets away about 8 years ago? Oh, yeah.
If you're listening, Microsoft, and you want to sue, Windows, you will get murdered on the way back home.
it's happened. I mean, you can. I know that you live in this little safety bubble over in the UK, but we've got guns over here, and there are some places where only the criminals are allowed to shoot us. Okay, which is why I'm fine here, because I live in a district where it's part of the residential agreement you sign when you buy your house that you are required to shoot anything that you just don't really like very much. So,
well, now the rest of it.
I'm glad you gave the international perspective here.
Well, so I'm desperately here, not trying to pick on Don, because Don lives in Liverpool.
No, don't even go there.
Exactly. I don't want to.
Liverpool. I mean, don't even go there because I know where you go.
Yeah, no. Yeah, don't even go to Liverpool. No matter what you do, don't go to Liverpool.
Here. It's a lovely place.
And the thing is, as well, it's twinned with Manchester. It's a crime syndicate.
Going back to the malware virus question. I don't know.
Like a paper and everyone's tapping like Jason Statham.
Oh, sure, that's all you want, a newspaper.
Jason Statham. Right, sorry, Don, go ahead.
We could show all the things as well.
No, I mean, to be honest, I've not really followed this story very much, because as a Mac user, I think we tend to switch off when we hear these, because Unless it comes across as a really serious threat, I just sort of switch off and sort of don't take any notice of it. And I suppose it boils down to the fact that I think this particular story is about malware and not viruses, and I think there's quite a difference between them. But, you know, I think there is a difficulty that we do become complacent, and I suppose we should really pay more attention to these. But I have to admit, whenever I start seeing news reports coming through like this, I tend to just sort of tune it out and just carry on merrily and just, you know, do the common sense things that you should do when you're using any computer, never mind a Mac.
I think the one thing that I've got to say is that this is another one of those instances whereby this thing will not get into your computer without you being a bit of a dumbass. It's going to say you've got some infection on your computer. Click here to scan your computer, and all it's doing is ripping away and looking for your credit card number. Nothing more than that. It's not corrupting your files or stripping stuff that's away that's really hyper personal. It just wants your credit card from all the reports I've seen. And the actual answer to it is, if you're dumb enough to click on that, then you should be using a PC, not a Mac. And the other thing is, if you're a Mac user and you're so dumb that you can't be bothered to use a piece of software that's free of charge that just runs in the background and doesn't sap any CPU hardly at all, then you're equally dumb. No?
Is it not just a form of porn tax?
It's a porn tax. I might have known you'd bring it back to porn, Andrew.
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't like how Apple is handling it, to be honest. I mean, people that have Apple One Care or the Apple Care thing, they're calling up. A lot of people, we have to get to a realization here that we are not the average Mac user. There are consumers out there that have been told, hey, they don't get viruses. Great. That's why they switched.
Well, they're not the average Mac user, though.
The system is much, much better. Comes with more software. Everything about it is all nice and shiny. But these are the same people that used to be PC users that are clicking and being dumb and clicking on these things. And it's one reason why the Mac has gotten so popular. So to call them dumb, well, in a sense, yeah, they felt safer at the same time. They felt that, hey, you know, no matter what porn site I go to, no matter what I do, I'm going to be safe because I'm on a Mac. We need to get into every computer gets a virus. Everybody needs to get that through their head. Every computer gets a virus. It doesn't matter if you're a Ubuntu, a Linux. It doesn't matter Mac, Windows. It doesn't matter. You're going to get a virus if you act stupid, if you click on links, if you install something you shouldn't be installing. But Apple needs to be thinking a little bit more ahead about these are the people that are buying their machines now and have a little, I don't know, being a little sympathetic to these. So there's a lot of people that did actually do this. We didn't because we're used to it. But a lot of these people are not.
So are we saying that the average Mac user's changed now? Because, I mean, I would have still put the average Mac user as being the lick it, love it kind of guy like us. You know, I don't think that the wealth of numbers from the consumer market has overtaken the people that are actually fairly savvy and love having a Mac because it's a Mac. I'm agreeing with Mr. Green on that point.
I think it has changed. I mean, I think there's still a lot of us, but I think the numbers are coming up because it's to me, it's obvious. That's why we're seeing so many people going towards Apple. And Apple themselves did this in a roundabout way. They more or less said, come to us. It's safer. Drop your PC. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. That's the only thing. My only beef is with Apple about this. They should be handling this a little bit better. But then again, they also told us to hold the phone a different way when we had an iPhone 4. So maybe it's around about the same thing.
It's kind of hard to know exactly the best way to respond to this because you would like to think that even a small threat should provoke a response of everybody, we're your friends, we're your dad, we're your mom, we're here to take care of you. There's a very slim chance you get a problem with this, but we want to make sure that you know exactly what's going on there and how to deal with it. But the problem is that can kind of really boomerang back at you because the people who really need to hear that message are the people who are maybe the least technically sophisticated. I don't mean that they're dumb. I just mean they're just inexperienced with this sort of stuff. And these are the sort of people who will not hear it's not a real virus. It doesn't really destroy your system. Mm-hmm. You have to blow through a whole bunch of our safeguards willingly in order to install it. They will hear, OMG, there's like totally malware out there. It's going to destroy my way of living, and you know, my faith in God is going to be totally destroyed because it's malware. Where's a cliff? I must jump myself off of it. It's, you know, it's, you really have to be. There's a way to make that message so that people realize that you don't really have to modify your behavior. You just simply have to follow the same rules that you haven't really had to practice over the past 2 or 3 years. Now you actually have to keep in mind that clicking that OK button is a really bad deal.
There's a good point in the chat room here.
Go ahead.
There's a good point in the chat room here from MattBit saying maybe Lion could have a system preference where it says only install applications from the App Store. Yes, no, with yes as being the default, which I think is a great idea. If you're going out to the general consumer market. And the other thing was, Ugly Sync says, I give all my non-tech family my old Macs after I've finished with them. And I do that with my mother. My mother's got an old Mac to use because I don't trust her with a PC. But having thought about it, you know, I've got the link through Mobile Me and back to my Mac setup so that I can go up there and coach her through some, do installs and updates for her. And there's a vulnerability straight away because that link exists. Now, I know it's got to have a password and that kind of stuff, but you know, if something comes around where, God forbid, they get in and they get the password from the keychain, then they're into all of my computers as well, even if I'm stuffed at a remote location, you know, I'm not having dialed in via VPN and just use my MiFi. There is vulnerabilities potentially there and potentially coming, but there's a lot of hurdles, agreed, an awful lot of hurdles. You be nice and quiet, Will, because you hate talking about viruses for Macs, don't you?
No, it's not that. I'm not very good at the newsy bits on this sometimes. So to wrap it up, so there's a what is it again? It's a
piece of malware that looks for your credit card number, nothing more.
That's fair enough, isn't it? I mean, these sort of things come along occasionally, don't they? And I just wouldn't worry about it. They just, most of the time, it's just like a quick news story, isn't it? A quick way of grabbing a few headlines. I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah. But the only thing is that this is, we talk about best practices, and this is a classic case because we've been laughing at these Windows phishing scams and Windows scams that where you're browsing on the web, even on a fairly credible site, and you get that pop up with a little jittery hourglass say, oh my god, you have a virus, you have a million viruses, click this button to automatically install software that will remove it, and we're finally getting our one of we're getting our own version of that, but I'm sorry, it's early in the morning, I totally had a point to there, but I've totally forgot about that. It occurs to me that I'm doing you very few favors, but
right, Andy, quick tip for you before 9 a.m. dude, make the point, then do the story. There we go. Right, so we're not bothered about the Mac Defender.
I'll be right as rain soon enough.
No, get the coffee in, dude. Get the coffee in. Rumours that we're going to get MacBook Airs in June or July with Thunderbolt, allegedly. Have you tried Thunderbolt yet, Will? Have you given it a go? Have you tried? You've got no cables, I suppose, have you?
if you do a search on the Apple Store for Thunderbolt in the, you know, the buying bit, nothing comes up. Absolutely nothing comes up. I don't know what to do with the thing. I mean, I've got a Thunderbolt on all my computers now. Every single computer that I own has got Thunderbolt on it, and I've just got no clue what to do with it. What I'd like to be able to do is to say daisy chain a couple of the iMacs up to my MacBook Pro so I can have sort of multiple screens, you know.
Now, can you do that with a mini DisplayPort cable?
I think they've removed the... Because previously the capability was there, but I don't think it is anymore, is it?
No, what's happened?
Yeah, they changed.
Go on, Andy.
They just changed it. You can still do display sharing via that port, but it has to be Thunderbolt, and it only works via another Thunderbolt machine. Right now, as we speak, unless you are inside a lab at Apple or Intel, you cannot buy a cable that will get any Thunderbolt feature working.
So
I've begged, I've borrowed, I've pleaded, but no, I can't get access to any cables so anybody can test any of these claims about Thunderbolt so far.
So when the Thunderbolt cables eventually appear, the idea is I can connect from my MacBook Pro into an iMac, which have both got Thunderbolt, and I can do sort of screen sharing. Is that the scope? Well, you know what I mean, not screen sharing, but
well, not just screen sharing, but you can use the iMac screen as a slave screen to another Thunderbolt device.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I can do that.
Right. And,
yeah,
Yeah, right. Well, what got some people up in arms is that last year's IMAX also had a really cool feature where you can buy an adapter and actually use it as an HDMI display, so that if you're in an office or in a dorm room where you don't want to have like 40 different displays, you can have one 27-inch iMac that acts as your Macintosh, but it'll also be your display for your Xbox. It'll also be your display for your cable box, and it will be one screen to rule them all. You can do sort of that sort of thing driving off another Thunderbolt device with a new IMAX, but it seems as though all of those HDMI adapters do not work, and it won't be quite so simple to build a new one. At least that's the word that I'm getting. But Apple says definitely that the current generation of HDMI to mini display port adapters that are designed for last year's Mac iMac will not work with the new one.
You know, I'm getting the feeling, and I shouldn't say this because I just bought a load of them, that I reckon that Thunderbolt is going to be a bit of a dead duck. I think it's going to be an almost sort of, you know, when like, you know, the new sort of high def Blu-ray, and that really hasn't taken off, and I don't think it will. And I think the biggest problem that I can see with Thunderbolt on the Macs is that the actual physical port is the same, which I understand why they've done it, but it's the same as the mini display port. So in order for this technology to be adopted by the rest of the industry, the rest of the industry will have to adopt Apple's sort of physical mini display port. Oh, I suppose you could get adapters, but I'm just feeling, I don't know, it's not quite right. I noticed, is it Dell or, no, it's HP, chosen USB 3 over Thunderbolt. And I do think it's going to be a bit of an interface wars, and I think my machines and my future, pretty much, financially, is doomed.
It's not quite that bad, dude. Steady on.
Will is feeling like Betamax in a VHS world.
I really do think that. I don't know. I can understand why they've gone for it, because they always do the same, don't they? They always go for the latest and the greatest, but I'm not convinced myself.
I think the issue, though, is that Apple have come out with Thunderbolt like 6 months earlier than anyone even anticipated. I mean, I was incredulous the week before when the rumors were coming around for the new MacBooks that they would include Thunderbolt, because there's just nothing out there. There are no peripherals. There's not even any cables, as Andy said. So, you know, I just thought the week before, there's no way that they'll introduce this technology because it's just too early. And lo and behold, they turn up. They had them on the MacBook Pros. Now they've got them on the iMacs. And the whole industry, the whole peripheral industry, is frantically rushing to bring products to market, because I suppose it's not that easy just to suddenly, you know, switch on a tap and redesign all your peripherals to work with this new interface. But I mean, listening to reports from NAB, you know, that there's tons of stuff coming down the track that's going to be Thunderbolt enabled. We're just going to have to wait, but I certainly don't think it's going to be a dead duck, Will. Now it's just so
too early.
Well, Matrox have got some stuff out, haven't they? But it's not out yet. It's only in promissory note. It's going to be around in late June, July, August. The other week I wound Will up a little bit, and Will wound me up a bit about being a closet PC user, but I'm a big Mac fanboy. I love Mac. I don't want anything else. I could buy a Windows computer for £600 and run all the video off that if I really wanted to, but I don't. I want my Mac. I want to use Mac all the time. But only Apple could sell you a feature on a computer that is completely and utterly useless, that is not backward compatible, that has absolutely no devices manufactured, and they haven't even got a cable for it, and you'd still buy it for that feature.
Oh, yeah. Will bought it five times over.
And Will Green got six of them, aye?
Yeah.
but think about the way they did it. Right now, if you buy an iMac, or if you buy a new MacBook with a Thunderbolt port, if you want to pretend that Thunderbolt does not exist, Apple hasn't changed anything. You still have a mini display port thing on the side of your machine that you can plug a monitor into. But the bonus is that 2 months from now, 3 months from now, maybe even 3 weeks from now, the next time you're looking to buy a new hard drive, you can buy a super exciting fast drive. I mean, it also also means that when it solves a problem that Apple has had with the MacBook Air, because you know it's just they're so keyed up on design. You know it absolutely kills them every time they have to cut a hole in the side of any case for any reason. I don't think it was any accident that they only put one USB port on the original MacBook Air, even though that kind of crippled the thing and prevented it from being a useful thing. That kind of killed it. They had to put two USB ports on the new generation just to make it useful. But now they can take this tiny, tiny little plug and put it in the side of a MacBook Air, and not only does that give them access to people access to external hard drives, it'll give them access to super high-speed devices. It'll let you put an external display on it, and without having to disrupt the rest of the chain. I'm really kind of certain that the next generation of MacBook Airs, the next generation after the next one, the second MacBook Air after the first one that has mini display port, will have one Thunderbolt port, one USB port, one power port, and that's it.
And one day there will be flying cars. Thank you for the Jetson soundtrack.
That's only when I didn't realize the bridge was out. I should have realized.
tell you what I've discovered.
Go on.
If you get a FireWire 800 cable and the sockety bit, and you know the Ethernet thing on the MacBook Pro, the Ethernet port. Yeah. If you push hard enough, you can get the FireWire 800 cable into the Ethernet port.
That's how I got cable TV on mine. You just got to snip off like the metal end of the cable TV thing, and then you just jab it right in there. I don't want people to make such a big deal out of these things. I mean, God, you just got to think, you know, a little ingenuity.
Well, just Nate, push harder. That's all you need to do.
Well, Nate, you say
what kind
that
of transfer speed you're getting, Will.
Well, it's pretty slow, to have to be honest, but it's
960 board
to it since then, because I was so upset. Oh Christ, it's never going to work again, is it? And I think it's okay, but there it is. They should make them different shapes, you know, like for a kiddie they have like a triangle, you know, the shape things. So you have a triangle, a circle and a square. Each adapter should be a different shape, so you can't at a certain time of night push it in the wrong hole.
Now we're getting further down to the interview. We're finding out you were pissed.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It's like they're all so similar. They're all so dinky, aren't they? They're all so small. I can understand how old people might get a bit confused, because there's all these little holes on the side of your computer. And I'm supposed to be technically proficient, but it is a bit confusing, isn't it? Different colours and different shapes. Circle, triangle, square and rectangle. That's what they should do. Just the four connectors. Stick with it and colour them different colours.
The thing is, Will, how much force did you actually use to get the FireWire cable into the port?
A fair amount.
Did that not give you a clue?
You need a special tool. It's called the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah, but don't forget his force to sense ratio was impaired, Don.
I was going
by alcohol. Like, yeah. The other thing that's going to confuse you even further, Will, is the fact that the suggestion that Sony have pushed out Thunderbolt, but as a USB port.
Mad, isn't it? It just gets never ending.
And so you've got USB 3, you've got USB as a Thunderbolt port, and you've got mini display port as a Thunderbolt port. And the other thing was, everyone thought it was Intel's technology and they were going to register it, but the Thunderbolt trademark has actually been registered by Apple now. So where does that all sit? I'm lost.
It's going to be just like time and time again. It's going to be an Apple only technology. Everybody else is going to ignore it. About 2 years or 3 years down the line, Apple will drop it and adopt the industry standard like they always do.
USB 3 has even more problems than Thunderbolt does. And I think there are too many people who will see Thunderbolt as a solution to a great palette full of problems. I think it will be like FireWire 800, where it's not going to be the port that it's not going to be the feature that everybody uses, but the people who do use it, that's going to be the definition between I'm going to buy Model A and I'm going to buy Model B. That's what I think.
Anyone else?
There's some talk that it's not a Thunderbolt port on the Sony, though, isn't there? There's people saying that it is.
Yeah, no one actually knows. It's just a suggestion it's a Thunderbolt port. But
may as well not be a Thunderbolt port on the Mac, to be fair. Just a sticker, isn't it? That's all they've done. They just put a little flashy sticker on.
Have you tried your Xbox 360 controller in it? See what happens. It could be, you never know. I mean, it could be plug and play. I mean, that's the weird thing is that the Xbox 360 cameras actually plug and play on Macs. It works just fine. Plug it in, away you're off. You don't even need Macam or anything like that. It just goes.
I haven't got one of those.
An Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I can't try that.
Don't know what you're missing, mate. Have you got a PlayStation?
I've got a Spectrum joystick.
God, there's one of those at my parents' house somewhere. I should find that out. Yeah, I remember that thing. Big thing with a big red button on the top.
I've got a Spectrum set up here, actually, at the studio.
Does it work?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I've got the tapes and everything.
You haven't got a tape player, but...
Yeah, I've got a tape player and everything. The and whole lot, it's all set up, ready to go.
Can you load Jetpack and...
I Jetpack, I've got the Nightlore, everything.
All right, I'm round to yours after this then, mate. Cool. Okay. Everyone's round to Will's after this.
Here's a thing that twice this week it's happened, is people have come up to me and they have, it's sort of USB versus Thunderbolt, I suppose. But anyway, they've come up and they've got a USB external drive. One was Western Digital and one was somebody else, iAmiga, I think. So it's got a proprietary non-standard mini USB on the drive and one USB connector on the other end. Shove it into the 13-inch MacBook Pro, nothing. Shove it into any other Mac or powered USB port, bingo, drive mounts up, back into the MacBook Pro, into the USB port, nothing. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the USB port on the Macs doesn't provide enough power for the external drives. It does do on PCs because they have not adhered to the USB specification and push more power through the USB port, but Apple, it seems, are sticklers for the international standard and don't allow enough power through the port.
Well, that's drive by drive though as well, isn't it? Because I've got a Samsung Go drive and that works just fine as a single connection off the 10 watt output from your MacBook Pro, but I've got Western Digital ones and they won't work off anything, and they're both mini display as well, mini USB as well. As it depends on the manufacturer of the drive to a large degree.
And it's annoying because I've got a USB cable with the two data and power data, and I just said, well, we'll just plug my cable in and it'll work and you'll see it work. And then you find that bloody Western Digital have got a non-standard cable on the other end of the drive. And then the customer's got this drive, USB drive, that they bought from Apple and a MacBook Pro that they bought from Apple, and they don't work.
Question in the chat room, is mini DisplayPort an open standard? No, I've said I don't think it is, but I thought it was an Apple proprietary thing.
Yeah, I think it's Apple proprietary, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. Didn't know if anyone knew. Drummer's got me. He said, from Wikipedia, Visa announced that mini DisplayPort would be included in the upcoming DisplayPort 1.2 specification. So he's suggesting it's an open standard.
I wasn't sure if the connector was, though, or the actual standard itself, you know, the...
Just the data, yeah.
Protocol, yeah. Not sure.
I wish they put a VGA port on the side of Macs. I know it's old-fashioned, but it'd make life a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Well, you've got an adapter for that.
Yeah, but you get fed up with adapters, don't you? 25 quid every single time, then you can't find them. Yeah, I spent about 2 hours looking for a VGA adapter just to run a projector off it, and I couldn't find it in the end. Then I went out and got an S-Video one, and that didn't work. And you're thinking, oh, why don't they just do it? Why do they have to make life complicated?
Well,
nice VGA thing, that'd be all right.
I've got three mini display ports of VGAs here. I'll send you one if you want one.
It wasn't that. It was, remember the older, the big display port thing on the side of like PowerBooks and stuff like that?
Oh, that's on the back of my iMac, isn't it?
The big one, yeah. Well, I mean, why they did that? Why not just have VGA? Why try to keep inventing new and different ports? Why not stick in 1987? We all knew where we were there then. That's what you need to do.
Smash the presses, Will.
Why does the Human League make new albums? Go on the radio, there's new songs in the charts. That's how you tell time is passing.
I mean, were we saying, because is it to do with greater data transfer ability? Because I would have presumed that VGA is pretty limited as far as, you know, you're only going to go up to XVGA with a standard cable. Your resolution's not going to go past 1280, is it?
No, it's not the point, though. It's just making life a little bit easier for you.
I think that is the point.
No, it's not. Because, like, you go to a place and you take your Mac and you say, oh, can I plug my Mac into your projector? But I need this special connectory type of thing and and special converter. I'd have to go to Apple and then get one delivered and Why can't they just stick with industry standards? I appreciate they try to be ahead of the curve. But just to make my life a bit easier. Dear Mr. Jobs, my name is Will Green. To make my life a little bit easier, would you put a VGA port on the side of your feckin' Macs? Kind regards, Will Green. Now, that wasn't swearing.
You said last week, Will, you told me to shut up because Apple put the new hard drives that didn't adhere to standards into their Macs because it was better and because they're putting stuff in their computers to help us with new, better stuff.
15 all.
Yeah, but it's changed because on Monday I had to do this thing, this presentation, and I couldn't find a fucking adapter.
I think a VGA port on a MacBook Air would really, you know, look really nice. You know,
it would. The blue would really go well with the brushed aluminium, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Big blister on the outside, you know, with this VGA port.
Exactly. Just put it like right where the Apple logo is. Just have them flatten the back of the screen like that. I think that's
what you need. Dude, that's it. The Apple logo flops down, and behind it there's a VGA connector. Maybe it does. I've never looked.
Right next to it, a composite video port as well.
That's what you would, and a RAM pack slot.
Yeah, it'd be like putting power bulbs on the
all my basic software and cassette tapes. We need a couple of cassette tape adapters on the side of that too.
Dear Steve, I've got some Atari cartridges left over from my games console. Any chance, you bastard?
Damn it, Steve! Where's the 8-track port?
Dear fascist bully boys.
8-track.
Oh. I sent an email, "Dear Steve, will I ever get VGA on my MacBook Air?" And he's emailed me back. He says, "Nope."
I can just imagine, because an 8-track is about the size of a 3.5-inch drive, isn't it? So there's absolutely no reason they couldn't put that in there.
Exactly.
I'm right.
None. Absolutely none. It's just pure greed.
Put a little button on the top so I can switch between programs. I'm happy.
I sent a letter to Jeremy Irons once.
Oh, you go on.
No, because I had my black Labrador. I've got a new one now.
Yeah.
But my last black Labrador looked I thought it looked exactly like Jeremy Irons. So I found his agent and I wrote him a letter saying and enclosed a picture.
Dear Jeremy, my dog looks exactly like you. Please don't be offended.
Dear Mr. Irons.
Oh, you said Mr. Irons. You thought that was going to soften the blow that he looked like a black Labrador.
Well, he never wrote back, did he? That's all I'm going to say. I'll never buy another one of his films.
Wait, no, you did.
What?
Dear sir, you've got a face like a pig's ass. Oh, I don't think I'll reply to that one.
Well, I was thinking about doing a follow-up to it. Now I've got a new dog and, you know, say, Dear Mr. Irons.
Oh, God, who's the new dog look like?
Yeah. Remember me.
Coincidentally, looks just like you as well.
Oh, SCSI cables. There's another one from the chat room. Good idea. And what about a parallel slot for me dot matrix printer? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, the dot matrix.
We're kind of back there though, aren't we? Because one of the deals with Thunderbolt is that now you can daisy chain again. I think that if someone wants to like sell something for like nostalgia oriented Mac users, they should just make like a black plug that doesn't do anything, but you can make sure that, okay, look, hey, look, it's the end of my Thunderbolt chain. I have to insert this Terminator there. It only cost me $40 and it won't work unless I have it.
There you go, daisy chain, and before you know it, you're back at daisy wheel. That'd be perfect.
But first, an acoustic covers able to plug it in.
Yeah, I know. Is there any other news? Because I couldn't find any. It's been a crap week, as usual. I thought we could do a quiz actually next week if there's no news. Write some questions instead.
Oh,
do a quiz. What you'll have to do is you'll have to bring a bell with you, and I could do some sound clips where it goes McAllister, Liverpool University, and it like. Like the University Challenge. Is there anything else to talk about in the Mac world or not?
The ITV prototype was quite cool, wasn't it? If you're into that sort of collecty nonsense.
Tell us more, Andrew.
You sent me the link. It was the Apple TV prototype on eBay. I always quite like seeing those. They come up on eBay occasionally, don't they? The prototypes that Apple build and then chuck in a skip at the back and then someone comes and puts them on eBay.
I think that was Kyle that put that in.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, no, someone's found a prototype Apple when it was still called the ITV.
Right.
So there probably is a MacBook Air with VGA and SCSI somewhere.
Somewhere.
Does this thing actually work? It works.
Apparently it does. It's working. It's running an older version of the iOS, and it's got all the stickers on it from the Apple sort of dev team and all that sort of stuff. So,
and it sold for $350 as well.
Cool.
It's always got more in the sense.
I like the looks of the old Apple TV. I don't know why. I mean, the new one's, it's a little small. It's there's not much color. There's something about this, when you look at it, it's, I don't know, it just looks like an Apple product. And I loved it. It had an internal hard drive and all that. I kind of miss the old Apple TVs.
Well, you're not supposed to see the new Apple TV, though, are you? That's the whole point.
Yes. Like the controller. That's true.
Yeah, well, the controller's huge now. Don't know why. Yeah,
but it's still not big enough, is it? It's ridiculous.
We still lose it. Bryony's figured out the slots in the washing machine where it fits, and it's that's the pain. We could do it being twice the size, actually. Fair point. Right, have we got any cool thingies? Don, would you like to start us off?
Okay, just a throwaway cool thingy then, something that's very simple. A little application for your iPhone called Seamless. It's been out for a couple of weeks now. Basically what it is it's if you're playing iTunes on your Mac, there's a helper application that you download and you install on your Mac. And say you're playing a track on iTunes and you move away from your desk or you're going out and you want to carry on listening to your track, you use Seamless. And it actually transitions from the Mac to your iPhone or iPod and carries on playing at the same point. It's really weird. Cool. So, you know, if you're like 30 seconds into the track, when you actually switch on Seamless, it'll start playing 30 seconds into the track on your iPod and you just walk away and it stops on your Mac and it's a seamless transition.
And it only does it do audio only, or could you do it with your iPad for video? And
I think it's audio only. Yeah, I think it's audio only.
Very good, though. What's the price?
I think it's only 59p or something. It's not expensive.
Bloody good.
Seamless.
Excellent pick, mate.
No problem.
Andy, have you got anything cool for us?
Which one?
Yes, after a discreet exit of the.
Yeah, we saw you go. Don't worry.
This is probably the coolest iPad cover I've ever come across. There's some that are functional, there's some that are indiscreet, and then there are some that are your basic like Renfest leather leather covers. This is by a company called Oberon Design, and they have about a half a dozen of these really nice like leather tooled iPad covers. This is, I believe, the Stand of Aspens design in fern color. And if you want to get it like with a Celtic knot, if you want to get it that looks like, I don't know, something that, again, we'll mark you as a Lord of the Rings guy. you can get something like that too, but it's a standard. They make them for the iPad and the iPad 2. Very nice metal clasp there. It holds it very nicely, but it basically it's just like this awesome, super cool case that sort of makes you. There are people who just want something that's simple and functional, and then there are people who just want really something semi-awesome, and this is probably the if you want your iPad to look pretty when you're not using it, I think this is the best one. It is kind of pricey.
I was just about to say, and
it is rather pricey. It's like you paid $500 for the iPad. This will set you back about $139. But it is, again, it's not. Oh, come on, for God's sakes! It's called Style, Sybil. I'm not surprised that you're shocked by it.
Oh, thank you. 15-0. So has it got any magnets in it?
The iPad 2 case, I believe it's magnetic.
I'll pay money for magnets. That's not a problem. I don't know what you did as well during that, Andy, but your audio suddenly got really good.
Oh, well.
You must have knocked a cable or something.
No, it's probably because I had a haircut.
Ah, right. Okay, of course. That does influence Sky in the Northern Hemisphere. Andrew, Happy Mac, what have you got for us, mate?
Okay, I like this one because it's like Don's. It's nothing special, but it's uplifting. And it's an iPhone and iPad app. It's simply entitled Astronomy Picture of the Day. And it's brilliant in that you just open it up and you get a wonderful, lovely picture of the universe that we all live in onto your desktop. And you can see stars and galaxies and things and really nice explanations about how the picture was taken and what it means and things. And sometimes they have really nice shots from onboard the ISS or the shuttle or things like that of astronauts in space and building this stuff. And you kind of like, you can look at it and you can look at the news and you can see people running around Libya killing each other, and you can see people doing this and that. And then you can look up at this picture and you can see the space station and astronauts, and you can say, is that really the same species?
Very good, mate.
And you can choose which version of humanity you want to go with, the news or NASA.
That's the last thing God will see before he destroys us all. Makes you think, doesn't it?
The space station. It's like Armageddon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just lovely. Some of the pictures of that come on there, that you look at it, you flick back over the archive and you see fantastic shots of the space station and the shuttle approaching the space station. And you think, people did that, and we're people. And it kind of gives you a bit of hope, really.
The only sad part about the space program at the moment is the fact that some visionless idiots cancel the budget, and all we're going to do is go up there and look backwards now. And that really upsets me. We should do more than that. A lot more. I know the Americans are paying for it all, but...
You know, we're doing a lot of really great stuff with unmanned probes. I mean, there's a great spacecraft up there called SOHO, which is a stereoscopic view of solar weather. It's actually shooting images in 3D of the sun, and it's getting some great imagery from there. I really think that these unmanned spacecraft can allow ordinary people to experience the space program in ways that, like, the Apollo program never could, because you get to watch TV for about 5 or 6 days while the astronauts were up there exploring the moon, and then that was pretty much it. With this, there's a constant stream of data, there's a constant stream of imagery that we can tap into, and the fact that we can put 10 spacecraft up for the cost of an equivalent spacecraft that's going to have to be rated for humans. I too would like to see people walk on the moon again, but I would much rather see, as a statement of our humanity, that we are constant explorers. And if we can't afford to always have someone on the moon and always have someone on Mars, at least we can always have spacecraft that are passing by another planet into another system, sending back more data and more imagery. I'm kind of cool with that.
Yeah.
Did you know that the moon is a bit of the Earth?
Yeah,
I did.
I heard that.
I seen your collision. Tweet, yeah. Well,
it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing?
When it was all globby and molten-y, there was a collision and they separated. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I had to explain to Ellis the other day why the moon didn't go off in a straight line, because we were throwing some and he let go of it and it went off at a tangent. And he said, well, how come the moon doesn't do that? Because the moon goes around us, doesn't it? I'm like, oh, okay, mate. Well, there's just enough gravity to hold just the weight, just enough to stop it from going. So that's why it doesn't get any further away.
It gets 2 centimetres a year further away.
Yeah, it's a small amount, I know, but he's 7, dude. You know, steady on.
Yeah, never too early.
There's telling the truth.
There's also, they discover, the Brits and the Aussies got the first proof of dark energy today as well, didn't they?
Oh, I haven't read that.
Not today, but it came out in the news, yeah.
So there is a dark side?
Yep, there's dark matter and there's dark energy. It wasn't about dark matter, it was dark energy they were looking at, and they've proved it. I don't know what it is, but...
So there we go.
Darth Vader impression, or is that just Skype?
We no longer take one giant leap, we take one giant bit rate for mankind. Right. Will, have you got a cool thingy for us?
I have. One last thing before we move off the topic.
Oh, there's a surprise.
Slightly digressing. The other thing that I've read is that they think during the Middle Ages somewhere, or maybe just before, they lost, or invented, I should say, about 250 years. And so about 250 years of mankind's sort of written history doesn't exist. They messed up and they thought, okay, we'll just add 250 years into the calendar. And so actually now we're about 1750.
Hey? What? So we're 300 years out?
Pretty much. No, about 250. They figured, because at the time there was only sort of monks and stuff doing the calendars. And
you can't trust a monk.
You can't trust a monk as far as you can throw him. And that's what they're saying now, that we're about 250 years out. And so there it is. So it's about 1750. right now.
Well, they reckon that the Bible's about 300 years out of date, don't they, with the actual political map of the period.
I ain't saying anything about the Bible right now, because according to that, it's supposed to be Judgment Day tomorrow, and I kind of like to stay on somebody's good side.
There was a great tweet this morning. Dear Richard Dawkins, maybe a good time now to redact some of the God delusion. Which I thought was pretty cool. Will, have you got a pick for us?
I have. I struggled with reading ebooks on my iPad. So I took the plunge and got a Kindle, which I absolutely love. When you connect to the Mac, I don't know how it works on a Windows PC, but when you connect to a Mac, it appears as a physical drive. And inside that physical drive, there's a few folders that you drag audiobooks and stuff to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a particularly good way. Well, it's okay, it does the job, but it's not ace in a way of organizing your Kindle. So the software that I would like to recommend for OS 10, and it's also available for Linux and Windows, is a program called Calibre. C-A-L-I-B-R-E, similar to the beer. And right. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried Calibre?
Yeah, it tastes like crap.
It's horrible, isn't it? Really,
it's alcohol-free beer. The beer wasn't invented to have no alcohol in it.
Do you remember that other one? What was the low-cal? But it was good because it was they took all the calories out but increased the alcohol, which is
no,
it's
I don't
a good
think
idea.
Are you
think?
Sure they did?
Yeah,
I thought they took everything out. I didn't think they'd taken the calories out.
Yeah. Was it not called One Cal?
It was called, like, there was a low-cal beer, yeah, and they took out the calories, but I thought the alcohol went with it.
No, it was a low-calorie beer, but it still had, well, it had more alcohol content than, it was about 6% or something like that.
Well, at that point, you didn't care about the taste.
I never tried it, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, no, I never tried it. Being so svelte. Do you like the t-shirt, the stripy t-shirt?
Yes, very Breton.
I was looking at myself in the mirror today, and I thought, well, T-shirts, right? You could have, really, they're the same either way you put them on. And I thought, well, this one, I could have, like, stripes going the one way, and on the other side, you could have stripes going downwards. So, stripes going downwards on
vertical.
The back, stripes going horizontal on the front.
Yeah.
And so, depending on your mood, if you want to look fatter or thinner, you could just twizzle the T-shirt around.
So, has that got stripes going up and down on the back?
No, it hasn't. I haven't implemented my invention.
Ah, you're cunning.
As
it's a cunning plan, Baldrick. Right.
No, it's good.
I was thinking more like prisoner.
A prisoner gets some arrows
on it.
It is a bit
prisoner, isn't it? I look like one of the henchmen out of...
bunch of onions around the neck. That probably would have been...
Will was on the cover of Band on the Run. That's where I've seen him before.
He looks... Actually, you paint your face white, Matt. You're small enough to be Marcel Marceau. Definitely.
Thank you very much.
That's all right, mate. Get a beret.
It's going to start well in Liverpool, the prisoner one.
Hey?
The prisoner, the t-shirt, the criminal t-shirt. Is that going to sell well in Liverpool?
Oh, easy. Don's getting upset, mate.
It's a bit random.
It is a bit. Right, so not Calibre beer, Calibre the transfer thing for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot the best bit about it.
Oh, go on.
So it manages your Kindle, the way you put your dingy books on there, your virtual books or e-books. But if you want to buy a new book, and you've at the moment, really, we've only got, I suppose, transparently two choices of either the Kindle store, which is the obvious choice, or the Apple one. There's a few others as well. And this has got a search utility, so go on, name a book.
Bad Ideas, Robert Winston.
Bad Ideas, okay. So I just type in Bad Ideas, and off the little search spider goes, and it's having a think.
And this is where we play the Jeopardy theme.
Is it working?
This is great audio, mate. Will, come on, man.
Well, it's not working very well.
Oh, no, kidding.
What? That's not a book, is it? Give me a proper book. Is it a book?
It's a book, yeah. I've got it on audiobook at the moment.
Chicken Soup for the Soul, because God knows you need it, Will.
Well, okay, listen, I'm going to type in...
we'll come back to you, eh?
No, okay. But anyway, it doesn't matter, because you can't see it anyway, so what's the point?
No, exactly. Carry on.
So you type in your book that you're after, and then it goes out to all of the various thingies, all the people who sell these books, and comes back with the cheapest or the freest option, then allows you to download it, so you get the cheapest or the freest option for the book you're after, and then it also converts the book format so it's compatible with the Kindle and puts it on your Kindle, and this application is totally free. So Calibre, how good is that?
Very, very good. Well done, mate. Excellent pick. Kyle, what have you got for us, mate?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's called Ardor. And it's available for Linux, and it's available for OS X. And I've played with it on both platforms. To me, it actually runs better on the Mac than it does on Linux. It is a multi-track, really great piece of software for, you know, you can do unlimited audio tracks. You got 32-bit floating point audio pass. You've got automatic track delay. There's so much things in it. It really reminds me of Logic. It reminds me of Cubase. Not so much Pro Tools. I think Pro Tools gets a little bit more complicated. This is not as complicated as Pro Tools. I was amazed at this piece of software, what you can do with it for free. It's absolutely free. It really is limited to what your computer can handle. And a lot of great even built-in effects are right there. VST plugins. I was just so blown away with this thing. In fact, I would actually could consider actually dropping Cubase over this. That's how easy and fast it was to use.
All right. Price?
Free.
Might have known. Which is why you picked it.
I picked it because it actually worked. I mean, I'm very much an audio guy.
Yeah.
I was looking when I was, because I'd done the Ubuntu switch and was doing all that stuff this week. And I was looking for a program, and I found that it ran on both. So I installed it on the Mac, and I installed it on both platforms, Ubuntu and the Mac. And it works okay on Ubuntu. I found it a little buggy, but on the Mac, it just flies. And like I said, it felt very Cubase like to me. And it was really simple to use right after installation. I mean, maybe if you're new to, you know, doing multi-track recording, it might take a little bit of getting used to, but I was really, really impressed, and all the more that it's free.
Excellent pick. Well done.
Why did you go for Ubuntu then? Any particular reason on the price or not?
I didn't know. It was just all the special features and the driver compatibility, really.
Is it that good, the new version?
I really like the new Ubuntu. I must say, I mean, if it wasn't a Mac show, I would recommend the new Ubuntu. The launcher doesn't work worth a crap. The new Unity interface is pretty crap on it. But if you go to the classic version, when you log right in, it really is operating nice. And I've got the Mac run. I'm not on video, so you guys can't see it. But I've got the Mac running over here. But I've got Ubuntu, and I've done the whole broadcast over Ubuntu on Skype, and I haven't had really any problems. We had a little problem with the camera a while ago when we did photo. It was doing a 16:9 instead of a 4:3 stretch, but that's been it. Everything has really worked. The drivers worked. I've even have an audio sound card that was supposed to only work on Mac, and it is working in Linux just fine. And I didn't have to install anything to get it to work. It just worked.
Yeah, that's the thing that Alex said, is that the all of the drivers for all of the Mac hardware for pretty much all iterations of it is just right there. So, I mean, if you've got an ailing old G4 or something, you could still put Ubuntu on it, the new one.
Oh, yeah. And I think it would fly. It would actually probably be better to have it on there right now than, you know, the old Mac software. You know, I'm really impressed. Over the years, Ubuntu's gotten a lot of slack, but I think they're getting there. And eventually, I think I agree with Andy. They're not quite there at the consumer level yet. But I think if you're very fluent with computers, it's becoming a lot easier now, where I think it could get into mainstream. I mean, Dell thought so a year ago, and I think all the more now.
I do wonder at the time, though. It was like a fashionable thing to put. Remember, that a lot of Dell and were selling their PCs with Linux on and Ubuntu on and stuff like that. But then they pulled them again, didn't they? And I thought at the time maybe it was just like a way of grabbing the news. I spent a week without my Mac. I had a little, remember those little computers, you know, the little ones? What do they call them? Netbooks.
Yeah.
And I put Ubuntu on that. But if you're a Mac user trying to get your iPad or your iPhone or anything to interface with it, it's self-contained, it's okay, but getting anything else that's commercially available to interface with it, it's a complete nightmare. I mean, I tried Wine, and I used Wine to get iTunes working, but it was no good.
Doesn't DoubleTwist work with Ubuntu as well?
I'm not 100% sure. I'll actually look right now. I almost think it does. I mean, Banshees actually, it's come a long way. Songbird is actually another one that's very iTunes-like. That's a very good iTunes alternative. But I believe DoubleTwist does.
Yeah, but you can't plug your iPhone into it, or you can't plug your iPad or anything with the i in front of it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it comes up as a separate drive. It's just drag and drop.
Yeah, and iPod actually works really. iPod works really, really good actually with Ubuntu. And I have not plugged the iPhone into it because it's a sync with the Mac, and I want it to stay there. I would say if you are an iPhone user, that will be the nightmare for you, having to do updates and all that. Would not recommend that at all. If you got a Mac, keep it on the Mac or even a Windows machine. Stick it on the Windows machine. But as far as everything else. I for the last 2.5 days, almost 3 days now, I've really, really think I could actually get completely rid of my Windows machine.
Andy, you got
something to say? That's kind of the defining difference between like Ubuntu and like a consumer operating system. The answer to every single complaint that a normal user might have about Ubuntu is, oh, well, you're using the wrong manager. You should definitely get this window manager instead, or you should get this application for your music because that works great with the iPod and the iPhone. So the good news is that there's almost always a really great piece of free software that'll do exactly what you want it to do, but it's not something where you simply turn a machine on and it has everything you want already pre-installed on it. There's always going to be like a 2 or 3 week breaking in period where you realize that, okay, I'm going to stop being annoyed by this word processor and try to find a word processor that works the way that I want it to. I'm not sure that's the difference between a consumer operating system and the kind for people who understand that, you know, a computer is a living, breathing organism that requires a nurse sort of day in, day out.
Brilliant. Yeah, good choices. Will, there's a comment in the chat room. Apparently, the planet that hit Earth was called Theia, which then created the moon. T-H-E-A.
It wasn't a planet. I thought it was a big asteroid, wasn't it?
Well, that's what they said. The thing that hit Earth was called Theia. I don't think it knew it was called Theia at the time.
I was going to say, can they know that? How can they know that?
They've named it Theia afterwards.
Just hit the planet, didn't leave a note. Fortunately, there was a parking lot.
I'll tell you what, that is.
Never call me mother.
Come back to bite you in the butt.
That's a Theia scar, that is. And that was provided by Dr. Rubber Happy.
None of those usernames in the username in the thing are me. None of them.
None of them. He's trying to distance himself as much as possible.
You think it's possible that this asteroid was not called Theia? He's just upset with an ex-girlfriend named Theia, and he just wanted to like sort of smear that name.
That could be it. Well spotted, mate. Well spotted.
I'm a little bit cynical.
My pick's dead simple. After Don told me last week that Boinks on offer was not a typo at $5.99, I went and got Photomagico, and I got Photo Presenter from Boinks Software. And I've played with them quite a lot this week. I love them. They're really easy to use. They're dead simple. Slideshow stuff. And it works absolutely effortlessly. And it runs really, really well, even on low-powered machines and stuff. So despite my criticism of Boinks last week, that they're good pieces of software. And they're dirt cheap at the moment. $5.99 and $4.99, I think one was. And also, Don, thanks very much, mate. Not blowing smoke here, but I've remembered that I bought Rapid Weaver a few years ago. And I got version 4, and I had a dig back through your screencasts, and I've sat and watched the one for version 4, and I've learned how to use it to a basic standard. Thanks to your screencast, mate. The other thing as well was really cool was your navigation through to get the old stuff. So, you know, I've got tons and tons of your podcasts going back 3 or 4 years, but I wonder what he got for Rapid Weaver. And right at the start of the Rapid Weaver video, it said, if you want to look back through stuff, go in and check the categories. And the website on the categories on the website is really cool. Really dead easy to find stuff. Thanks, mate.
You should do meditation tapes, Don. I think we're really good at that.
Could do. Give anything a go, me.
Our last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people that keep us afloat. Last month was an absolute crazy month. This month is equally crazy. We're doing tons and tons of data off the server, and we'd be utterly lost without them. You know, I don't think that even someone like Libsyn or something would pick up the kind of bandwidth that we're consuming off them. All they require from us in response is that we say how good they are, and we do believe they're good because they keep us afloat. They take an enormous amount of hits when we have the shows on. Andy, with you being on, it always sends it a bit mental as well as. So thanks very much for that and for plugging us. We get nothing in return from them, and they get nothing in return from others. And please go and click their link. If you go to our homepage, which is going to change soon, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see a UK2.net logo. Click on that. There's a tracking link on it, and they'll know that we've sent you. They're not tracking your location. They're tracking where you've come from. And once you've got there, have a browse around, see what they've got, see if it works for you, and if it does, go ahead and buy it. And the customer support's great with them. They've really looked after us, and we've had a couple of emails from people where they've said, oh, you know, something's got not gone right. Who do I call at UK2? And I've forwarded it on, and UK2 have sorted it in hours. The other thing is to look at Screencast Online as well, because Don's very kindly given us a coupon code for Bagel Tech listeners. If you join Screencast Online, 50% off your first 3 months membership, as long as you use the offer code BagelTech. So cheers, Don. Thanks ever so much for that. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Go use it, you silly people. Last run around, where can we get a hold of you? Don?
Well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, which is the main website. But you can also find me over at themaxscreencastguy.com, which is my blog, and on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And commercially available for screencasting.
I don't know. I'm trying to. I've got lots to do with the website over the next few months, so I'm actually pushing back sort of external work. So the shows will keep coming out once a week as regularly, but I'm going to try and knuckle down and do some more things with the website over the next couple of months.
I fancy doing a few Photoshop kind of little, just simple stuff for Photoshop to go on the photography website. So I might be picking your brains, mate, if you don't mind. Andy, I think we probably all know you, but where can we get hold of you just formally?
If you can spell my last name, anotco.com. If you can't spell my last name, cwob.com, the celestial waste of bandwidth, will take you to my site. Or you can find me at the Chicago Sun-Times site several times a month.
Excellent, mate.
I'm just like you, Don. I mean, it's like what's the old story about how the man in if you want to find the best barber in town, find the guy with the worst haircut. It's like, I'm always impressed by tech people who have really, really horrible sites where they just took like a basic template and then never got around to like improving it. So that's my site. 2011 is supposed to be the year which I actually, you know, apply some styles to the basic template. But the content is there, I swear.
Well, you must love our white page then. It looks like a 10-year-old did it. It's only the visual bit. The behind-the-scenes bit's really quite special, but...
Hey, at least you have boxes with rounded corners. That's pretty flashy, sir.
Thanks, man. I'll take that as a real compliment. Andy, where can we get a hold of you?
Well, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Dr. Happy Mac and www.drhappymac.co.uk.
And every Thursday at the Cornhall.
Every Wednesday now.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Trying to butter up Princess Anne.
I know, it was Dom Jolly yesterday.
Oh, Don actually came. He's finally.
Did he
not really grasp the concept that coming to an opening meant the first week that you were there rather than the sixth week?
Yeah, well, he missed the cakes, so he was a bit grumpy about that. But he was all right. He came, but he stood around and he chatted to people and took some photographs and things. So it was quite cool.
Rightio. And Will, Mr. British Mac, where can we get a hold of you?
BritishMac.com.
Said simple. And on Twitter at British Mac as well as.
Yes, oh yes. Yeah, there too as well. And is there another one? Not really. The Facebook thing. I've given up on the Facebook thing.
Yeah, we don't do Facebook much, but there you go.
It's horrible. Does anybody use Facebook here?
Well, actually, we've got a good friend of the network. It's a guy called Dane Golden, who used to be at Twit Network. And Dane's got a podcast called Facebook This Week, FTW, which you can get. So go and check him out as well, because it's a good podcast, even if you're not into Facebook, perhaps. But try him out. And the other people to watch out for as well, while I think about it, is Telstream, because they're sponsoring some competitions for us starting next month. Every month, we're going to be giving away a copy of Wirecast, which is $500 worth of software, free of charge. There's going to have to be some forfeit involved to get it, some kind of question or some kind of answer that you're going to have to come up with, or some witty statement, perhaps. But every month, if you listen to Bagel Tech, you'll be able to get a code, get a question, and write in, and you'll get a free copy of a $500 piece worth, $500 worth of piece of software. So, thanks to Telstream. good on.
I had a sponsor for a bit, and I shouldn't say this, but I did this question was, like it was a competition question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you were going to get an infection on any part of your body, where would it be? And the winning answer,
don't give me any
was
editing.
It like to get elephantitis on my penis? I didn't ever heard another thing from him.
Don's got an afternoon cleaning tea off his monitor.
Really made me laugh.
Just don't call the show that title this time.
No, okay, mate, right, no, sorry. Elephantitis of the penis. It's elephantiasis, isn't it, as well? There's not a titus. Anyway, never mind. And last but by no means least, a very patient, faceless man that has been here today, Kyle Swagger. Where can we get you, mate? Yeah.
Just find me on Twitter.
Twitter at Kyle Swagger.
I can't stop laughing. I hate you, Will.
No, you don't. You love him, really.
Oh, I love him. No, I do.
We'll be back again.
Brings me to tears every show.
We'll be back again next week on Friday at 1 p.m. UK time. So that's how early, Andy, of 8 a.m. for you?
That is 8 in the oh my god a.m.
Sorry, mate.
Okay, maybe. I appreciate that people with children are often up this early, or if not earlier, but I don't do 8 a.m.
No, mate.
I'm sorry. So I apologize to listeners. I apologize to America. If there's a God, I apologize to you, especially given the rapture coming tomorrow.
Absolutely. But you are.
If there is no God, then actually, I got off pretty much okay, didn't we?
You are thanking God that you only agreed to come on once a month.
this morning I was like, you know, my life would be a lot simpler right now if I could just stay in bed for another 3 hours.
What? But you set the webcam up, dude. I don't mind.
That goes away like 3 minutes into the show when I'm talking to lovely, lovely people. That's
right. Oh, cheers, pal. Are you coming back next month?
I will be back next month.
Good man. Third Friday in the month, Mr. Anatko will be gracing us with his presence. Thanks ever so much, pal. And you can listen to Bagel Tech News every Monday, Wednesday and Friday next week, because there's no frigging news, so I'm not doing one every single day. And Bagel Tech Media is on there as well. And we've got the big show tonight at 10 o'clock and the photo show's on at 11 on Fridays. It's already gone. We've done it. But also, there's a Flickr group, and you need to join this, Andy, because your photography is really good. I'm a professional photographer, and we've got another guy, Alex, who's a professional photographer, and we've got loads of members down at the Flickr page. So the Flickr group is flickr.com/groups/bageltechphoto, photos with an F. Come and post your pictures, and there's lots of comments flying around, some Mickey taking, but it's all in good nature and it's having fun. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Andy, are you building a desk or something?
Let's hope he's building a desk. He's definitely whittling something.